South Africa has a reputation for being one of the most violent societies on earth. A newly completed study has found that the country has a culture of violence. Disturbingly, among those most deeply affected are children. Our Africa correspondent Andrew Gagan questions why the brutality experienced during the apartheid era continues to be felt in South Africa.
That's a sound I wake up to regularly in Johannesburg. My first thought is, I hope it didn't wake the kids. But then, if my mind wanders, I'll imagine what the police chopper was chasing. It may be a stolen car. Often the answer is splashed across the morning's paper. South Africans are fed a daily diet of crime stories, robberies that turn into shootouts, vicious rapes, victims who are tortured, murder. Given their country's history of violence, South Africans don't seem easily shocked. But they were this past week with the murder of a tourist in Cape Town.
That he hijacked British couple Annie and Shriya Ndawani while they were apparently sightseeing in Guguletu on Saturday night. Annie's body was later found on the back seat of the vehicle in Khayelitsha.
The honeymooning couple had their taxi hijacked. The husband was freed, but his wife was later found shot dead. There's no apparent motive for the crime. The tourism industry is reeling. The incident has severely eroded the positive publicity South Africa received during the World Cup. International news organisations have been quick to remind readers and listeners of South Africa's crime statistics. 46 murders and 300 rapes every day.
Of those countries that gather this kind of evidence, we usually rank sort of fourth or fifth as one of the most violent countries in the world.
Adele Kirsten is the executive director of the Centre for the Study of Violence and Reconciliation. The centre has just completed a government commissioned study examining why crime in South Africa is so violent.
The most reliable statistic is our murder rates. We have 16,500 murders annually. Within South Africa, there seem to be kind of a set of rules which govern our interaction with each other, which says that violence is acceptable, it's normal, and in fact, we argue that it's also seen as legitimate, so that your peer group then sees the action that you've taken more than just acceptable, that it's reasonable.
How can it be explained? Is there one particular cause?
Well, I think that's the complexity around violence in which all of us struggle with as researchers, but I think just citizens, is we want one single explanation for violence, because then government or community organisations or ordinary citizens can say, well, if we do that one thing, then it will take away the violence. But one of the key causes, and one of the more difficult to kind of understand and take on board, is the legacy of apartheid, both its structural violence, its institutional racism.
It's some 16 years now since the end of apartheid. That's almost a generation. Why is it still affecting South African society so deeply, particularly among the young, who many of the perpetrators of crime weren't even born when apartheid had ended?
An important point, and as you say, the bulk of our perpetrators are young men, and in the murder study, several of them under the age of 19. That's younger than in many other countries in the world. But I think what you're seeing, just to give you one example, is that the experience of being a South African remains highly racialized. The kind of structural nature of apartheid is that we continue to live in separate areas. And so you begin to see it becoming much more of a class issue rather than just a race issue. But the separation along racial lines remains present in present-day South Africa. So that's one thing to say. We're working with military veterans, and we're talking about people who were, you know, in the war in the 80s. And they talking about the impact that their experience, both of apartheid and being in exile, is having on their children. And they're experiencing similar levels of poverty and deprivation, poor access to schooling, their parents being unemployed, many military veterans being unemployed. And so in a sense, our history is carried over. And it's what we call transgenerational trauma. and experiences of collective violence. So it's a group experience. So it's the legacy of apartheid, but it's intersecting with a daily experience of lack of access to jobs, basic services and education.
So are you saying that the crime problem will only be addressed if South Africa addresses the issue of poverty and unemployment?
Absolutely. And the report makes it clear that although it's a report on trying to understand the nature of violent crime, this requires a whole of government response. It's not just within the purview of the police, Department of Education, Health, Social Development, Economics, is that unless we get some of that right, we will not significantly reduce our violent crime. And on the other hand, we're also saying there are some very immediate things that the police can do, such as reducing access to firearms and strengthening the implementation of existing legislation.
That's Adele Kirsten from the Centre for the Study of Violence and Reconciliation speaking to Andrew Gagan in Johannesburg.